reflect life. And so sometimes life is hard and sometimes life feels down. Well, today we're doing a psalm of praise because sometimes life is good and because our God is definitely good. So I'm excited to get into a time of looking at praising God together. I'm in a mood of praise. I just had an amazing weekend with the Crossfire team away at Leaders Retreat. So there's some extra excited people in the room. You'll know why. Here's how we're going to tackle this psalm. There's so much in this little psalm, and it's all very exciting. But what I want to do is actually look at three themes that flow through, that's a hard sentence, the whole of the psalm. So there's three themes. There's victory, there's kingship, and there's praise. And what each of these themes do for us is it shows us what's happening for the person and the people singing and writing the psalm in the time, but it also draws us really quickly into our life now and what victory, kingship, and praise looks like for us today, this side of the cross and this side of the empty tomb. So we're going to look at those three themes together, but let's pray before we do that. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that your psalms reflect life. Lord, that they're honest, that life is hard sometimes, that life is painful sometimes. But Lord, that it also reflects that life has its joys as well. So as we come to a psalm full of praise and excitement based on who you are, Lord, would you help bring praise into our hearts, into our minds, and that our souls would be lifted to praise you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for everything you have done for us, and would we be caught up in that, that we couldn't help but praise you. We pray this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Well, let's start with victory. It's from the start, right? It's hard to read this psalm without having the idea of victory kind of punch you in the face. From the very first verse, you see someone celebrating like something that they've just been victorious. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. And the reason that there's so much victory and there's so much joy and there's so much happiness here is because there's just been a military victory. Reading through the commentators, they're not exactly sure which victory that was in kind of the history of God's people, but it seems to be a significant one that wins them some land, and that's land that God had promised to them. And so they're really enjoying God and Him fulfilling their promise through Him and giving them that victory, that they can praise Him there, that they can set up life there. And you can see they credit God for this victory. You see it in verse 3. He subdued the nations under us, people under our feet. In verse 5, God ascended amid shouts of joy. The Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. This is a moment of victory for God's people. So they're writing a song of praise to their God. And that their victory won for them land. And what you do when you get new land is you set up life on that. You start a people group. You start a kingdom. And you need to get a king to start that kingdom. So as they celebrate, they start to think about establishing their kingdom, establishing a king. But there's an even greater victory that's pointed out here. And we read the verse that did it. It's verse 5. It points us to something even bigger and something even greater that hasn't happened at the time of this psalm. Verse 5, God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. This is a picture of God ascending to His throne, rising up to His throne. And so the context here is that He comes down and helps them with the battle and helps them win, gives them the victory, and then ascends back to His throne, having achieved what He came down to achieve. But what it points to us for, and so we can see, is what Jesus has done. That we can see that He stepped off His throne, came down ready to achieve something. That He went to the cross and that He died. He took on death and He took on sin. And as we hear about the ascension back to the throne, we think about the moment that Jesus' buried body breathed again and He rose in victory. He rose in triumph and He ascended back to His throne. The victory of this psalm is a victory that claimed land and defeated an army. The victory that it points to is the victory of Jesus, which defeated death and sin and claimed an eternity and a salvation for all of us. An end to suffering and an end to condemnation. How much more should we, this side of the cross and this side of the empty tomb, be celebrating our victory? How much more joy should we have? How much louder should we clap and louder should we shout praises to our God? Knowing that our victory isn't just a bit of land, isn't just a town or a city or a nation. Our victory is eternity, is salvation. And you hear that victory talked about all the way through the New Testament. My favorite is from 1 Corinthians 15. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great reason to be full of praise for our God, to clap louder than they clapped and to cheer louder than they cheered when they won that battle. The psalmist is full of praise because they've had triumph in a war. We need to be full of praise because we've had triumph for all eternity won for us. And that should lead us to praise. That's point three, though. We need to get back to where we were. Back to the point. If you are in an army and you claim land, if you establish that we now own this, what you do quickly is you set up your king, your leader. And they would be getting the glory and the praise and the accolades for leading the army and winning the battle. And you claim they are the king over this land now. This belongs to them. And the people who have lost and survived, they would be either fearful of the king or hopeful that they would be kind of gentle in the way they treat the people who have lost the war, right? Will they just murder us? Will they make us be slaves? Or will they be kinder to us? You know, they're at the mercy of the king and wondering what will happen. So the next thing we see as a theme through this psalm is the idea of kingship. The established and new king starting his reign. The glory of the victory, the praise that comes with it, the families clapping because you brought the soldiers from their family back home safe. They have somewhere to go and somewhere to live. But that's not what this psalm does at all. That's not what the people of God do after the victory that He led them to. This is all about God being established as the king. This is all about God being seen as Lord, God ruling this nation and God ruling these people. And even more than that, God ruling all nations. It's all the way through. And we're going to keep reading the same bits over and over again. So verse 1, and then we're going to skip to verse 5 all the way to the end. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Then verse 5, God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praise, sing a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on His holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham, for the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. This nation that has just won the battle are establishing their king, and it's God, 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 God. And there's a diversity in here that they push out, that they've just defeated these nations and these people, and their cry is, all nations, all of the earth, all people, you should come and you should praise this God together. We should all join together in praising this God. Doesn't matter what nation you're from, doesn't matter what background you're from, doesn't matter if we just defeated your army or if you're kind of the next kind of people around the block, you should all come together and praise our God because He's a great and victorious God. And they're diverse here and they want all people to join together. It's not a cry for more war and more victory. It's a cry for all the rulers of all the people to humble themselves under the one true great ruler, our God. They want all nations together. And some of the people who commentate on this psalm say that at the start, clap your hands, all you nations. Some people think that's clapping is what you do whenever you get a victory. You celebrate by clapping. But other people think it's talking about when you kind of shake someone's hand together as a deal. You clap your hands. It was language used by people then when they struck a deal. And there's a unity there. And so it's saying, come together in unity, all you people, and praise our God. Leaders of nations, come together and submit yourself to this true king. And imagine hearing that as one of the soldiers just defeated who survived. It's not that you're about to get humiliated or that you're about to be tortured, but you're getting called to praise the one true God. The people of God cry out to all the nations, our God is amazing, our God is powerful, come join us in praising Him. He is victory. All the earth come bow down before Him. And now that, again, should sound really familiar. You hear it in Philippians. Again, this side of the empty tomb. And being found in appearance as a man, talking about Jesus, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You hear this imagery and then you pair it with what you see in Revelation of Jesus just before he comes back to judge, and he's got a sword of fire coming out of his mouth and legs of bronze, and he's this glowing, glorious, powerful being. And on his leg is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our great King, our great God, is the ruler over every single nation, every single person, every single centimeter of land on this earth. We have a great King who rules over all. So I want to stop here and ask you a question. Where is your hope in a political sense, in kind of an Australia sense? Where's your hope for Australia? This is a very political sort of psalm talking to all the nations. Where is your hope? I don't know about you, but if I start thinking about the state of the world and the state of the people in the world, I feel hopeless. I genuinely feel hopeless. You think about everything that's going wrong. You hear this a lot. The world's falling to pieces. You hear a lot of parents saying about their kids, I don't know what life's going to be like for my kids. I don't know how they're going to survive. Even for me, like as a typical millennial, I found it hard going through school. I found it hard being a young adult, trying to establish a life as a millennial. And then I look at the generation that I'm leading as a youth leader, and look at Gen Z and the life that they have to grow up in, the climate that they have to live in and try to establish a life in, and that's a lot of you, I think that must be so much harder for them. Life must be so much more difficult in that climate. Just as a side note for Gen X and Boomers, that wasn't that hard to say. Just so you know, it is harder for them. Anyway, that was meant to be a joke. But it's true of our situation, right? The climate is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. The world is getting more and more corrupt. Everywhere you look around the globe, there are refugees being treated terribly with no place to go. There is war in every corner of the earth, and people are getting more and more selfish. And then we look at our leaders. We look to our prime ministers or our presidents or the big leaders around the world, and we just see how far short they fall as well. And we go, well, what's the hope? And I think we convince ourselves that the hope is if we could get someone elected that shares the same kind of political leaning as we do, has the same convictions about social justice, about policy, about the way we should treat people and interact with the rest of the world. If someone's elected who thinks the same as me in regards to that, then that would kind of solve the problem, right? They'd have the same idea of social justice, and then we'd have hope. Not according to the Bible. That is not our hope. Our hope exists because our King reigns as King over every single person on the planet. Our God is King over every single human. We don't need political leaders who share our value system. We need political leaders who realize that God is King, that Jesus is the ruler, and start to live like it. Whether they do that or not, and it looks more and more likely that they won't, we still have hope. Because we have a King, we have a leader, and we have a ruler who has defeated death and gained us life. God being King should be the foundation of your worldview. God being King should be the foundation of your worldview. That in the most hopeless of worlds, we have hope. Because our King is powerful, because our King rules, because our King is coming back as judge. Even in this psalm, if these people had lost this battle, God would still be King, and there would still be hope. He is King yesterday, He is King today, and He is King forever. No matter who wins what election, no matter what happens in the climate of this earth, we have hope for the next generation because God is going to reach out and call people to be saved in Him. This is a passage that sits on my heart as I think about this hope, and it's a passage that I try to read to myself most days. It's from Romans 8. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Isn't that a message of hope? If God the King over all things, over the whole universe, over all realms, if Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the Kings of Kings, is on our side and he has defeated death and he has defeated evil and he has defeated sin, if he is on our side, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And as you skip down a little bit, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Where is your hope? Is it in any of the politics or the leaders of this world? That is a shaky foundation, but the certain hope is found with Jesus as your King. That should be the foundation of your worldview, the lens through which you look at everything that happens in this world. When you're getting sick of the news reports, when you're getting sick of the drama and the heartbreak, finding hope where hope can only be found in Jesus. That sort of hope, that sort of King should bring out a response in all of us that should cause us to react. That's exactly what the final thing we want to look at. How do we react? How do we respond? We need to praise our God. I don't know for you that what it is for you, but I find for most people there's something that can tap into their emotions really easy, right? There's something that's like guaranteed to make you cry if it comes up. I'm a bit of a crier, so there's a few things for me. But one thing that really gets me, and this is going to make me sound pathetic, if I'm home sick and Ellen or Oprah is on, the Queens, and they do one of those things where they find a broken and like kind of downtrodden family who needs something, and then they surprise them by like building their house or giving them a check, and they come home and they just burst into tears and kind of throw their arms around whichever one it was and go, thank you so much. That makes me cry every time, right? Every single time. All those like YouTube clips of soldiers returning home and you see like the little kids running across the football fields, daddy, like done, gone. There are things that cause a response in us, right? The realities or things you interact with that make you respond. A big one for me was when the Mighty Sharkies won the premiership. It was all sorts of emotions because I thought that it wasn't going to happen for so long. There was tears, there was joy, there was screaming, there was yelling, there was running around. There was a whole lot of different things going on. Because something that happened in the world, in reality, caused an effect in me that actually had a reaction. I had a physical reaction to the reality. We need to react to the reality that our God rules this world and we can find hope in him. Listen to how much physical call there is to react to God. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. God has ascended amid shouts of joy. The Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing the praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Instead of exclamation marks back then, they just said it again and again and again, right? For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. And that's what we have here, a psalm of praise. This isn't three songs at the start of a service and one at the end every Sunday. That's not what's being called for here. This is like warriors raising their sword after they won the battle, cheering in their victory. This is like people giving a standing ovation at the performance of a lifetime because it was worthy of praise. This is like someone cheering for their sporting team that finally, after 50 years, won a premiership. It's loud. It's undignified. It's for the glory of God, not worrying about yourself. He did it. He won the victory. He overcame the grave. He overcame our death. When we come to church and to be brutal and sing like our dog just died, and praise has no other place in our life, have we completely missed the fact that we have victory in Jesus, that we have life in Jesus, that we have eternity in Jesus? When a swing in politics is enough to cause anxiety or fear or to cause us to worry about the climate of this world and we forget about our hope, have we forgotten about our King? Have we forgotten about the one who actually rules, who actually has the power, who can actually change things? I know we're, you know, in a conservative sort of church group in the Anglicans, but The glorious kingship of our Lord Jesus should cause our heart and our soul to be stirred and our body to follow. You are saved. You are set free. Death has no claim on you. Victory is ours. Victory is yours. In the name of our King, we must praise in response to that. An eternity of suffering separate from God. Being released from that to an eternity of praising Him. So we should definitely get some practice in now. The psalmist gives us some idea of how to do this as you jump through the book of Psalms. Psalm 66 says, shout for joy to God. That's loud. Shout. I'm good at the loud bit. Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Psalm 134, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. It's a physical response. Psalm 150, I'll read a bit more of it because it just keeps going and going. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the timbrel, I don't know what that is, and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and the pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What we have here is a psalm of praise. And it's actually calling us to live a life in response to what God has achieved. His victory and His kingship should cause us to live a life of praise. Yes, what we need to do isn't just praise in response to His kingship. We need to submit and serve and repent. But I want to actually stay faithful to this passage because the application of this passage is actually to praise God. And sometimes praising comes really easy. Sometimes it's just a joyful flow out of what's going on in your life, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's the exact opposite of what you feel like doing. What I thought I'd do is share lyrics from a song that help me when I both feel like praising and don't feel like praising. This is written by a guy named Aaron Gillespie, who I love. He's from a screamo band, which is why I'm not just showing you the song. But he says this, when I'm losing, when I'm broken, when I'm sinking like a stone and it feels like I'm alone, I will worship You. When I'm so scared and life is unfair, when I'm tired and lose my way, when I'm feeling so ashamed, I will worship You. You are the anchor to my soul. Draw me to You and don't let go. Only Your love can make me whole. Jesus, I worship You. Then when I'm dancing and when I'm hopeful, when I'm feeling mercy's hand and I'm living life again, I will worship You. When the chains are broken and healing's coming, when You forgive me and my heart, this is my brand new start and I will worship You here. You are the anchor to my soul. Draw me to You and don't let go. When we believe in a King who rules over the entire universe, over every situation, over every nation and every leader, in every part of life, we can praise God with the words that finish this song, hallelujah, 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 our God reigns. Our God is King. Can you, no matter what the reason, no matter what the season in your life, find a way to praise God and find a reason to praise God? If you've lost everything, if your relationships are falling apart, if you have nothing to eat, if your mind is your own worst enemy and you can't find any reason to pray or to praise, remember this, He is King, yesterday, today, and forever. That He, in all His glory in the heavens, has King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on His legs. And He is coming back so that every knee will bow before Him. When life is hard and you don't feel like praising, remember that you have been set free by the power of Jesus. When life is good and the promises of God are evident and you can feel His presence, praise Him as a response. No matter what's going on in your life, remember that you are His son and you are His daughter and you are dearly loved. Because of the name of this King, you are free. In the name of this King, you are loved. In the name of this King, you are redeemed. In the name of this King, you are adopted. In the name of this King, you have hope. In the name of this King, you have eternity. In the name of this King, you have salvation. And you have a cause to praise our great God. I just want to say before we read out this psalm together, as we've been doing this series, that if you don't know that good God, then please come and chat to one of us tonight, that we might tell you about just how good his victory is. We have a God who rules as king over all the realms. And that should cause us to respond with praise. We're going to respond with praise by reading out this psalm together. It's something we've been doing this series. I know it's a bit awkward and it can feel weird sometimes, but if we all commit and we all do it together, it'll be a whole lot more enjoyable. So if you could all stand, the words are going to be up on the screen. And let's just say this with a heart full of praise, a heart remembering that we have victory in Jesus Christ. We have eternity in Jesus Christ. We have all we need in him. We're going to start from where it says, clap your hands. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome and the great King over all the earth. He subdued the nations under us, the peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the shouting trumpets. Sing the praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble. The people of God, Abraham. For the King of the earth belong to God. Amen. We're going to spend some time in prayer. Please stay standing as we do that.